Blog Talk Radio.
Radio Free Palmer, 89.5 KVRF, presents Mushing Radio, hosted by Robert Forto. Mushing Radio is about dog-powered sports, living in the Great White North, and mushing. Visit our website at mushingradio.com. Here is your host, Robert Forto.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Robert Forto, and you're listening to Mushing Radio here on KVRF 89.5 in the Mat-Su Valley. RadioFreePalmer.org is our live streaming site, and mushingradio.com for all of our podcast episodes. And follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Mushing Radio. Michelle, how is it going?
It's going wonderful. What a surprise it is having Mushing Radio on today.
It is a surprise, and we're in our brand new live spot at 5 p.m. Alaska time, right here on KVRF. We'll be live every Wednesday night, 5 p.m. You can call in, you can ask questions, comments, etc. When you do call in, you can call us in at 907-745-8900. So, Michelle, it is just about time for mushing to begin. Snow is about to fly. I understand 70% chance of snow next week in Willow. What do you think?
I think it's time. I've liked how much autumn we've gotten to enjoy, but I know that the dogs and I are getting kind of tired of the sticky mud in the dog yard.
It is sticky. We had a very warm summer to lead up to it, and then, of course, a very wet late summer and early fall, at least up at our place in Willow. We've gotten a heck of a lot of rain and a heck of a lot of mud.
Absolutely. I know that a lot of other mushers are out there training and out on the trails. So for those of you in the Matanuska-Susitna Valley, be aware that mushers on ATVs with dog teams of anywhere from 4 to 16 are out on the trails now.
That is right. And today, before we get into our topic today is going to talk about the upcoming racing season. We're going to tell our fans of Mushing Radio and fans of mushing in general when all of the Alaska races are happening. We're going to give a little bit of a commentary on each one. And then, of course, throw in a tidbit or two about the upcoming Iditarod and the Yukon Quest as well. So we're going to start it off with the first mushing event of the season. It's typically the first race here in Alaska. It's called the Alaska Excursions 120. It's happening on the 17th, I believe, of December, second weekend in December. It's held out on Kinnick Lake, and you're going to hear that name quite often, Kinnick Lake, in the coming half hour. It's put on by Ryan and Aaron Reddington. They own Alaska Excursions, a tourism company down on the southeast portion of Alaska during the summer. They offer sled dog rides and things for folks that are coming in on the boat.
That's right, and I understand that a lot of people do enjoy their Alaska excursion.
They do. So the Alaska Excursions race, as I said, is listed as a 120, but it's actually two heats of 42 miles on Saturday and Sunday, and it's a little bit different than most races here in the valley. Is you run the race, the 42 miles up and back, so 21 miles each way, and then you get back to Kinnick Lake and you go home or you camp out or you party or whatever you're doing, and then you start it all over again on Sunday. So it's a two-heat race, very similar to the way they do sprint racing.
Sounds like mid-distance races down in Colorado that we used to do.
They do, and you'll often find the field full of a lot of big sprint teams. Some of the big names in sprint mushing will be in that race, and of course, a good training run for us mid-distance and long-distance races. But what's interesting is that for our fans is often you will find the big Iditarod name kennels. They'll run it one day as a good training run, a good race preparation run, and then they'll just turn around and go home. They won't run it the second day.
Is that to help get some of their younger yearlings some race start training?
Well, I don't think that the dogs that will be running in that would be young enough to not have any race experience and run an Iditarod at the same time the following March, but it's at least going to give them good experience with camping, not necessarily a camping trip on the trail, but at least riding the dog truck and taking part in all of the race festivities.
Right, and all of the distractions that happen at the start line.
Right, so they are saying a guaranteed purse of $10,000 for the Alaska excursions. That's a big, big purse for a small race like a 120, which is actually an 84-mile race. It's going to happen on the second weekend of December. It's going to take part at Connect Lake in Wasilla and head out about 21 miles, turn around and come back, and then, of course, start all over again the next day. The following Tuesday, I believe it is going to be the second running of the Top of the World 350 from Tok to Eagle and back. That is another race that is definitely different from all the others. They run pretty much as a fun run. They run up together to Eagle, and then they race back. I know that last year they did that, and it was very successful. Everybody finished the race. They did very well. A good friend of mine, Hugh Neff, was involved with the planning of that last year, and they're hoping to make it even bigger and better this year. So that is going to happen.
I believe it's December 28th is what I thought they posted on the website.
It's going to be the 17th or 18th, sometime around the full moon is my understanding. Michelle has different dates for us. What is the date?
I believe that they said it's going to be the same dates as last year from their meeting that they had last night, so it should be the December 28th.
So we didn't mention the websites for the Alaska excursions, but it's alaskaexcursions.com. Topoftheworld350.com is the website for that. And just about all of these races have very active Facebook pages during the race where you can follow along and get updates and news for what's going on during the race itself. The next big race here in the Mat-Su Valley is the Connect 200. That is one of the most historical qualifying races, at least down here in the valley. It's held, again, from Connect Lake. You run from Connect Lake to Eagle Quest Lodge, which is right down the road from where we live in Willow, to Yetna Station and back to Connect Lake, a 200-miler, closer to about 170, 180, and that is going to be held on the first Saturday of January. Be very prepared to be very cold and possibly quite a bit of snow. Connect 200, sleddograce.com. What do you have to say about the Connect 200, Michelle?
You know, I think that the Connect 200 is one of those races that everybody hopes happens, but in the recent years they've been pretty upset because it hasn't happened. And in the Mat-Su Valley, January snow can sometimes be too much or too little or too soft.
So the Connect 200 is also our first Iditarod qualifier that we're talking about in this 2014 racing season. So a lot of rookie mushers and Iditarod mushers themselves will be taking part in it, and it is amazing. They just opened up entry yesterday at about 10 a.m., and they've already filled the field of 40 in less than 24 hours. So that race is full. They do have about five people already on the waiting list, and they're also doing the Kinnick 100. What can you tell us about that?
The 100 is 100 miles. It's an out and back, and it's not necessarily for those that aren't interested in qualifying, but it's a good little run. A lot of the alternate teams run the 100. I've also noticed that some rec mushers that don't get a lot of training in before the race season starts like to run the 100 as well. I think that both races are great, and it's put on by a good club, and I hope that they do get enough snow this year.
I think we should be okay considering all of that snow that I see on the peaks around us in Palmer. I think we're going to have ample snow, at least for the Connect 200. I'm also running in the Connect 200. I was the second person to sign up, so I look forward to hitting the trail myself on the Connect 200. That is the first Saturday in January. The following weekend, we're getting very busy now with the mushing season. It is the Copper Basin 300. They claim to be the toughest 300 miles in Alaska, at least from Glen Allen up through the mountains towards Paxson and Lake Louise and back to Glen Allen, one of the tougher routes on the mid-distance circuit and the Iditarod qualifying circuit. Very tough race. Lots of folks that do very well in the Copper Basin 300. seem to do very well in the Yukon Quest and the Iditarod as well. A name that comes to mind is Jake Berkowitz. He's always done very well in both the Copper Basin and the Iditarod. Michelle?
Yes, and congratulations to the new father.
Yes, he is a new father. Since he's been on the show, he has welcomed in a new member of the Berkowitz family. I don't know if
it's a baby girl named Ruby.
I don't know if she will turn into a Iditarod musher like her dad, but I think that that's probably already in the works.
Maybe so.
The third weekend of January is the Northern Lights 300. Another tough race. It's also a qualifier. Northern Lights 300. .com is the website, very active Facebook page. It runs from Martin Boozer's Happy Trails Kennel, I believe. Happy Trails Kennel in Big Lake to, it goes to Happy Trails down towards Willow, through the swamps to Yetna Station, Yetna to Squitna, Squitna to Finger Lake, which are three checkpoints on the Iditarod, the first three checkpoints on Iditarod, and then makes its way back to Happy Trails Kennel. It has been a very tough race in terms of weather the last couple of years. Last year, I know that they were dealing with minus 45 degree temperatures, a very cold weekend out there on the runners for those folks.
Yes, it was. So, mighty cold that weekend.
It was. I had planned to run that race last year myself, but I ended up coming down with bronchitis, so I wasn't able to participate in that, but I know the field will be full of rookies and veterans alike. I know that that is a very big qualifier for a lot of up-and-coming Iditarod rookies.
That is correct.
So the fourth weekend of January, if we do have a fourth weekend, I'm not sure this year, but that's typically been held for another race called the Don Bowers 200 and 300. That race is not taking place this year. They've decided to give that race a break for a little while. That will not be occurring anymore, at least in the foreseeable future. But the following weekend is a huge weekend in terms of mushing, not only here in the Matsu Valley,
Hold
but
on.
Also... Yes.
Back up just a little bit.
Yes.
We need to go ahead and mention the big start race for the kiddos. That happens that weekend as well.
Nope, it doesn't happen that weekend.
Are you sure?
Yep, I'm following along here. So Michelle tried to throw us off track here a little bit, but we're still marching on. The first weekend of February, February 2nd, is a huge mushing weekend for the sport of dog sledding. It is the weekend of the 30th annual Tustamina 200. Very, very tough race down on the Kenai Peninsula. Man, I tell you what, I know firsthand that race will break you off if you're not prepared, Michelle.
It is no joke.
It is no joke. And last year we ran from Kasilof, where it starts every year, to Freddy's Roadhouse and then on towards Homer and then back. And when you talk about hills, you're talking about a race like the Tustamina. Also, that same weekend, starting in Fairbanks this year, is the Yukon Quest and the Yukon Quest 300. The Yukon Quest runs from Fairbanks to Whitehorse and then back on alternating years. And, of course, the Yukon Quest 300 is another Iditarod qualifier, but also runs the first 300 miles of the Yukon Quest race. So those folks that are hoping to do the Quest one day and want to get their feet wet a little bit can try the Yukon Quest 300. Michelle?
That is correct. It is also a race that you have entered, and I'm kind of looking forward to you getting to run that one. That is quite a trek for us to drive up there, but I think that you and Tyler will have a good time.
I'm looking forward to it. The Yukon Quest 300 runs from downtown Fairbanks to Central to Circle and back to Central. So it's a up and a back a little bit. You're heading over two of the very high mountain peaks, well over 3,600 feet in elevation. Man, a race is made or broken on the Yukon Quest on those two hills themselves.
Absolutely. I think that you'll really know what dogs we've got.
I think so, too. So I'm looking forward to that. So the Yukon Quest and the Yukon Quest 300 will take place the first weekend in February, and of course those Yukon Quest mushers, they'll be out on the trail for 9 or 10 days or so to run that 1,000 miles. So many of those guys will be out on the trails when the next two races occur, and the next two races happen to be junior races. The first one is the Willow Junior 100. Michelle, what is going on with the Willow Junior 100?
You know, the Willow Junior 100 is put on by a fabulous woman named Chris Ditt, who doesn't get enough recognition, I don't think. I think we should try to have her on this year on Mushing Radio. She does the race basically by herself with a lot of volunteer help and a lot of sponsors that come back year after year after year. It starts at Dream a Dream Sled Dog Kennel and Tours, which is Vern Halter's place right up the road from us. Our daughter participated last year. She was the Red Lantern holder. Nothing wrong with that for your first race in Alaska with dogs that weren't too sure if she knew what she was doing. But Nicole has proven herself. She's got about 2,000 training miles under her belt now in the last 3 years, and she's raring to go and get out there and prove that she knows what she's doing.
So just a step back real quick to the Yukon Quest, yukonquest.com, and why? Q300.com are the websites for that. And again, very active Facebook pages. So we're now on February 8th and 9th. The weekend of February 8th and 9th is when we are doing the Willow Junior 100. Very good race for the kiddos. And it is also one of the few races out there that does not require an entry fee. I think that's relatively unique. What do you think?
I do too. It is a free race. The only requirement is that your child must have the prayer, if you will, from an experienced musher.
So the following weekend, it's typically President's Day weekend, I believe. It's the weekend of February 15th and 16th. It is the 22nd and 23rd. There is not a race on that second weekend. The 22nd and 23rd, which is the President's weekend, that is the Junior Iditarod.
That's good that it's President's Day weekend because those kids will definitely need Monday off from school. Junior Iditarod, the route is similar to the Northern Lights, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it follows that same route as a lot of these races that we spoke about. It leaves from Kinnick Lake and then works its way through the historic Iditarod Trail onto the river towards Yetna, and then I believe makes a turn upriver and heads out to Susitna Landing, which is a little further north of Willow, then down the river again and through the woods and through the swamps, and ends up finishing at Willow Lake, which is also the official start of Iditarod. So the Junior Iditarod, I may be mistaken here, guys. You can figure it out on Facebook or on their website. I believe that is on the 22nd and 23rd, but it could also be the 15th or 16th. They have not released much information yet on the Junior Iditarod site. So I think it is the third weekend of February. And just about that time, earlier in that week, is when somebody will come in first place in White Horse as the new champion of the Yukon Quest. I'm sure everybody has their favorites. Alan Moore won it last year. Allie Zirkel's other half. Allie Zirkel is a preeminent contender in Iditarod as well as Alan. So we're looking forward to seeing how he does. And, of course, our good friend Hugh Neff, he always does very well in Iditarod. And, of course, all of the other mushers, the Berkowitzes, the Sasses, the Seavies, all of those guys that will be entering the race as well. The who's who of the Yukon Quest should be on the trail this year. And then it is Iditarod Week, which starts at about the 24th or 25th or so, and the chaos that ensues there, starting with the 27th of February, a Thursday, the Iditarod Mushers Banquet. I know you haven't had a chance to go to that, Michelle, but I know you're itching to go, aren't you?
I would like to experience the whole Iditarod experience. I mean, we've gone down and we've been these spectators on Main Street or Front Street or whatever it is down there. And, you know, I'm always in the studio when they do the restart in Willow, which is just 4 miles from our house. I've never seen the restart either.
So looking forward to that this year, if we can make it on down. The 27th is the banquet. Then Friday is really a meet and greet time. You can head on down to the Millennium. I believe they're still a part of it this year, and you can meet the mushers, and there's always talks and things that are going on with folks talking about one thing or another. Then Saturday, March 1st, is the ceremonial start downtown. I don't know anybody that's followed mushing or Iditarod knows about the ceremonial start. Tell us a little bit about that, Michelle. What happens at the ceremonial?
You know, the ceremonial start is pretty surreal. Everybody lines up along the streets on either side. while the mushers prepare their teams, and then they are timed out the starting line, so to speak, and they go down the road and down to Campbell Airstrip. It's amazing to me how many tourists, as well as locals here in Alaska, decide that it's okay to cross the street while a team is going by.
That is, and it is a huge party downtown. Also, we forgot to mention that weekend as well. We don't want to leave anybody out. Is also the Fur Rondé races. The Fur Rondé, I believe it's the World Championship. Is that what they're calling it? That happens the week before. So the Fur Rondé goes on for about 2.5 weeks in downtown Anchorage. And, of course, the first weekend of it is the big sled dog races down there. And, of course, everything that goes along with that.
Right, and the Fur Rondé is a lot of fun if you have nothing better to do and you'd like to come out and be a little bit chilly with the rest of us. The Fur Rondé is a good time, and it starts with the Fur Rendezvous race, and it ends basically with the Iditarod start.
It does, and for folks that don't know a whole lot about sprint mushing, it is an entirely different animal compared to Iditarod.
Absolutely,
those dogs are rocking and rolling the whole time, aren't they?
They are, and if you really get a look at the Rondé dogs and the Iditarod dogs, you can really see the difference in the dog's athletic build. A sprint dog is, if you put a sprint dog next to an Iditarod dog, let's say you take two wheel dogs, a sprint wheel dog and a sprint Iditarod dog, they are going to have completely different compositions.
That is right. So Sunday, March 2nd, is the official start of Iditarod this year, and it is held every year in downtown Willow, downtown or in the middle of the community at the community center on Willow Lake. It leaves from Willow Lake and heads on towards Yetna, Squintna, Finger Lake, Rainy Pass, and on down the line for the next 1,000 miles. Starts there in Willow, and it happens for real that day, doesn't it?
It does, but like I said, I'm always in studio covering the restart for us with our good friend Alex Stein on Mushing Radio, and I've never gotten to partake in that. What I understand is the true party.
It is a true party. You often see folks lined up on snow machines and bonfires and couches on the lakes and everything out there for the fans, just having a great old time pretty much all the way from Willow Lake to Yetna, which is about 40 miles or so, 45 miles, I believe, is how they say it in the official rules. But, man, what a party that is for the fans.
I've missed out.
So the following weekend, March 8th and March 9th, up in the Fairbanks area is the Two Rivers 200, a very prominent race up there in that part of the region, and also a brand-new race, one that you and I are putting on, as well as several other Iditarod mushers, the Independence Mine 200. And we've changed that up a little bit, Michelle. Let's talk about that for just about a minute and a half before we move on.
That would be great. You know, the Independence Mine 200 was born of a genuine idea to put some races back in our own backyard since we did lose one. And I don't really know if it's going to be a qualifier or not in the future. That's to be decided. But, you know, we caught a little bit of flack in the beginning, and I hope that people understand that our intentions are to create another way for you to do things with your dogs.
Independence Mine 200 is that website, and it's planned on going up the trails on...
Well, let's make sure everybody understands. We started off with the trail going up to Independence Mine. And that has changed for various reasons and lots of discussions. As most races, when they first start, there's lots of discussions and there's good ideas and yep, we think the trail should go this way and that way and it'll be a great time. But then once you sit down and you really talk about it and you really get to looking at the trail, some alterations are made and you end up with a better race in the long run. So now it's going to be?
It's going to head up on the, I guess that would be the east side of the highway, our home trails there, head up following real close to that Willow Junior 100 route, then cross over Hatcher Pass Road and then up Willow Mountain and back. So it's going to be a true 200-mile race with a checkpoint about halfway on a lake called Grella Lake. And for folks that are familiar with the area, very close to 12-mile lake. So that's going to happen on the 8th and the 9th, same weekend as the Two Rivers 200. And then during that week sometime, unless we just have every record in the world shattered, we should have somebody late week finishing the Iditarod. Last year it was Mitch Seavey in a dang near record-breaking pace. Can't go much faster than that. Looking forward to having somebody finishing the Iditarod during the week of March 8th through 15th or so. I believe 15th Saturday is the finisher's banquet in Nome. And that also that weekend happens to be a little-known race here in the Mattsu Valley, and it's also a Iditarod qualifier. It's called the Goose Bay 150. Tell us about that one.
Well, didn't you have a good time on that little race last year? You know, that is put on by a great group of people right off of KGB Road at the Tug Bar Inn. And, you know, there's a little bit of a hairy start right there at the beginning. They have you crossing KGB Road into the ditch that didn't get plowed exactly right. And, man, did it dump a few mushers, including you, right at the beginning.
It did. So that used to be called the Tug Bar 150, but is now officially named the Goose Bay 150. And that runs from the Tug Bar, which has a big history with the mushing community. That's where the old Klondike 300 used to end there at the Tug Bar. So it runs there 75 miles out up towards Yetna Station, a little bit, I guess that would be north of Yetna Station.
You ran to the Nome sign.
No, you
not around it.
Yes, it runs through the swamps there through Big Lake and out towards Yetna Station, passes Eagle Song Lodge out there, then of course makes its way back through the swamps and then finishes up there at the Tug Bar. The following weekend, at least last year, is when they had the Nome Sign 40. Not a real big race, pretty low-key race. You start again at the Kinnick Lake there, where so many of these races start, and then you go out to the Nome Sign. And for folks that don't know what the Nome Sign is, back in the early days of Iditarod, they put a sign there right there in the swamps that pointed towards Nome. It says Nome, 1,049 miles, and gives you a direction towards that way. That was kind of a starting point for the beginning of Iditarod. So that starts, I believe, on the 22nd of March. And then we have a couple of weeks off, and then, of course, there's lots of small village races and sprint races going on throughout Alaska. And then mid-April, pretty much the last race of the mushing year, is the Kobuk 440.
Isn't there a Kusko?
The Kusko 300, I believe, is the same weekend as the Northern Lights, if I remember correctly.
Okay, because you didn't mention
that. We did not mention that one. So the Kobuk 440, a tough race out there in a different part of the world compared to the Mattsu Valley, happens mid to late April, and of course by that time a lot of the snow's melting and we're heading into spring. So that is the mushing calendar, at least as far as I know it. I know we've probably missed a race or two. One that I'm thinking of right off the bat is the Paul Johnson 450, I believe that they've called it. I know they've had that the last couple of years. And, of course, all of the sprint races that go on at Chugiak.
And the Sheep Mountain isn't going to be happening
this
year.
The Sheep Mountain is not happening this year. The steers who own Sheep Mountain Lodge have decided to take a break, at least from putting a race on. They've closed up the lodge for the winter. But it's my understanding, as of last year, Zach Steer, an Iditarod veteran, is also going to be running the Copper Basin 300. He did last year as the race organizer, race marshal. So we're looking forward to that as well.
Yeah.
So we are just about out of time. Michelle, anything else you want to mention here on Mushing Radio? I guess it's kind of our first show of the season.
You know, I just want to say that for all of you sprint mushers out there, we're not forgetting your races, and by no means are we discounting what you do. It's just that there's so many of the sprint races, it's difficult to mention all of them in this one 30-minute show.
It is. So Chugiak, the Dog Metrics Club down towards Eagle River, Chugiak area, and, of course, Montana Creek. Up our way a little bit past Willow are two big sprint mushing kennels or clubs.
Aurora Dog Mushers Club,
and then, of course, the Alaska Dog Mushers up in Fairbanks, and all of those folks out that way. And of course, a big race. I believe it's the first weekend of March is the Tok Championships, which is a big sprint race up there in Tok.
Right.
So there you go, guys. If you have questions, comments, or concerns, send them our way, mushingradio.com, and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. We'll see you guys next time. Goodbye.